The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening to us. This is the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. This is episode 34 and we're reviewing the Browns game. Matt here as usual, and I'm going to say welcome back, Alex, after your trip to Sweden. How are you doing?
Sweden was nice, but I mean, you look at back-to-back Sabres losses and now this, and I just am like, why do I do this to myself?
Yeah, but at least you got to see another country. Add that to the list.
I mean, you come across these people and they say, oh yeah, I'm not really into sports, and we all make fun of them, but I bet you their lives are just better off for it.
Yeah. I think sport is a universal language. Some people will say they don't like it, but secretly deep down, when your back's turned and you're not there, they'll be jumping up and down and cheering, which I think today, I don't think many people were cheering.
Not the right day. I mean, there were things, there were moments. I mean, I was probably the most excited, which would be obvious, for the Jerry Hughes touchdown. They got called back because of an incomplete pass, and that's just unfortunate. That seals the game. But yeah, other than that, there's a lot of things defensively that were good and offensively that were very bad. So let's just, dive right into that. The defense kept us in this game, and I mean, for this, it's going to be really hard to say a lot of things that people aren't already thinking. What else is there? It's the same thing every week. Defense good, offense bad. And I think where I'm at is I'm figuring out who to blame. And a lot of people want to say Josh, but I honestly want to say it's not even Dable. It's Dable and McDermott. When I look at Josh Allen's fourth quarter stats, they're not glaringly better than 1-3, but the eye test shows that he's just more in a groove in the fourth quarter. And I think that's because game script dictates us saying, hey, let's just go out there and play football, you know, and it makes me feel like they're over coaching him in quarters 1-3. And I think that's where this, you know, this idea of Josh is better in the fourth quarter is, because he just looks better in the fourth quarter. And obviously, I mean, not obviously, but like when you can just see a little bit of the replays, the fourth quarter where we go screen to Singletary and it gets tipped at the line, game's over if that play gets made, because he's gone.
Yeah.
And if he's not, he's tackled in the 10, and this team doesn't decide to put their tail between their legs and decide to huddle and take a timeout and kick a field goal with a guy who hasn't made one from 50 all year. So this game was on the coaching. In quarters 1-3, we didn't put up enough points, and there were a lot of situations where Josh missed. You're looking at 0-4 on deep passes, but you're only going to see 0-2 on deep passes on the score sheet because two of them were called back on penalty.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, again, I can't put anything on Josh Allen. He got given the plays. Everyone's been given their number. And if it doesn't work. I mean, he's 2-7, I think I read, 2-8 when he throws over 30 passes. He's 7-2 when he throws under 30 passes. So surely the coaches should have that, or at least the stats analytic guys should have that somewhere that maybe
Yeah, and when you look at the situation this week, when you look at such a bad Cleveland run defense and Josh is throwing it, you know, and he's got 47% completion and Singletary is sitting here. I mean, how do you not get him going? How do you not – I mean, it's just no matter what the Browns did to adjust and have a better run defense this week, you have to then do the right thing and realize that – that's still their weakness. Mm. Don't react to what they're doing. Go ahead and dictate what the game, what they're going to do. I think that we played the character of the away team, and we did everything based off what Cleveland was doing. And it's just so frustrating because I think this was the most even matchup we've had all year. The Eagles are better than us. The Patriots are better than us. Every other team that we've beat, we're better than. Maybe Tennessee is as even with us. But especially with what they did this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, they beat the Chiefs Chiefs today. Yeah. So
Chiefs can't stop anybody on the run, though. But I bet you if we played the Chiefs next week, Singletary would have 10 carries for 50 yards because we would just, you know, try and do something different, you know. I wish I had my finger on the pulse of this team a little bit better to figure out really what's wrong. I want to be able to be in the locker room. I want to be the kind of reporter who can talk to the coach and ask the questions because there's no reason for us to not have run the ball more against the 30th ranked run defense in the league.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you put it on the coaches. I mean, I'm still seeing people blaming Allen. Obviously, you're looking at Hauschka left 6 points on that field. Okay, yes, the Cleveland left a point from the missed extra point, but
and we went for it twice on fourth down, fourth and manageable, and blew it.
Yeah. I mean, yes, a part of me right at the end, when it was 4th and 4, a part of me said, go for it. We did well on a couple of occasions on the short yardage and 4th and whatever.
I really think it's super easy on 4th down to spread it and just let Josh wait a second and then run.
Yeah. I mean,
should have done that on every 4th down.
Because then that way, he's then bringing it into a manageable down for Hauschka to actually get within his within the target, which now we know for this season is not anything over 50. I mean, to be honest, when he lined up for that field goal, I was thinking, I hope he does miss because I could not go through overtime with how bad this game's been.
But isn't it unbelievable that the fact that our coaches wanted to go to overtime?
Yeah.
I mean, we are moving the ball on that last drive. We're getting chunk plays, and then you go ahead and just throw the playbook out and say huddle, then call a shitty play, and then be like, let's just go for the field goal. We're all right where we are. Like, they could have tried to at least get closer. I mean, they saved the timeout for the field goal. That is stupid.
Yeah. That's
and I want to know whose decision that was. That has to – time management is all in the head coach. We haven't complained once about McDermott this season, but today it was on him. Mm. You can't lose – you can't make a bad coaching decision – against a coach who's clearly worse than you. And Kitchens made a really dumb timeout himself at the second half. I mean, at the end of the first half. But it didn't come back to haunt him like our stupid coaching decisions did today.
Mm.
I just feel like there was like an intimidation factor. Like they knew and they heard that we were underdogs and that this was going to be a Cleveland bounce back win. And I think that just kind of was in our heads. Maybe the disrespect got to us. I don't know. I don't like to make decisions based off of like those kind of emotional factors, because there's no way for me to know. The only thing I can make any of my decisions on is statistics, and the statistics for this game, once they like come out later in the night and tomorrow, they're gonna suck.
I mean, the obvious thing is as you say, is running. I mean, looking at, what is it, Singletary, 8 carries, 42 yards. Allen, 6 carries, 28 yards. Most of those he did, a couple of those he did on his own, 2 touchdowns. Gore, 5 for 12, should have had the touchdown, which obviously got brought back. Feliciano, I was actually hoping that would have been it, because that would have been a great... That's a great scoop and score for the touchdown, but the refs decided against it, and also decided against that slap on the face mask on the sack.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm not about to start. I'm not trying to find other ways to figure out why we lost here. Josh Allen threw the ball 41 times in a game where we lost by 3 points. That shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, do we have time of possession yet? I'm sure we do. It's just not on my sheet right now.
Let me have a look. I think I have it down here.
Team
time of possession is down. We had it for 28 minutes and 14 seconds. Cleveland had it for 31 minutes, 46 seconds.
Didn't it feel like Cleveland had the ball for way longer?
Yeah.
I mean, in the first half, I bet they had the ball for so much longer than us.
Yeah, and it had.
If that's the case, in those situations, you have to be able to run the ball. I mean, we would have won time of possession if we didn't have Josh Allen throwing more than half of his passes for incompletions. He wasn't at under 50%.
No, just over.
A smidge over. It's just...
Yeah. But, I mean, total
we want to be a passing offense, sure. Then give Allen the opportunity to make high percentage passes. I mean, Beasley needs to be used more than... He should have more than 4 catches. Brown is being used properly, but you can't use him on a deep ball, on slants. I mean, on streaks. He's just too small unless he gets open, which he's not, because they're putting a safety on him there. Mm. But that miss to McKenzie just is... I mean, that's a touchdown. And this is what we got Josh for. And it's time to start calling him out on his deep ball percentage. Because if he's 30, like league average, then we probably win this game. Mm. And we're not talking about him every week. Is this his ceiling? Is he done? Is he bad? If he's got 3 more touchdowns via the deep ball, I think that we're all much happier with him.
Mm. The trouble is, you've got to put it down to, is there any sort of like mental block or anything like that that's actually stopping him connecting on it? Or is it just a case that he needs to try and take off a bit, but then he's worried if he takes a bit off, because obviously we know he's got a rocket that's going to get intercepted. They try to put a bit more on as receivers aren't there. Or is it a case that the receivers may have got jammed, or they're actually getting pushed or nudged towards the edge away from it? There's so many things to consider, so many things that need to be, well, hopefully our analytics guys will be able to find out, or should be able to find out the reason why, because it could be, it could be a numerous things. I mean, it could be the fact that, yeah, he needs to take a bit off it. I mean, there's a couple of times where he did throw the perfect one, but it was actually, there were a couple of plays where the defense actually got in and made a good play on it. So there's many things to do, but yeah, someone's got to work out if there's any sort of psychological aspect to the fact that he's not throwing and not connecting on these big ones.
Oh, I just wish there was... I wish we didn't have to talk about it. you know, I mean, because this is this is what we got him for, and there's still time to fix it.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks ago, I was like, they will. And now I'm like, we'll see.
Mm.
The optimism is out of my sails. This was the game. This was the game where they could have proved to me that they earned their six wins. And I guess maybe just I should have been doing this earlier because, I mean, the game against Miami just wasn't as good as it could have been. And you look at all season, there was never that definitive, easy win except for against Washington. And, I mean, that's only one. That's one. And the rest of them, the rest of our wins were against teams where they should have been easy. We had to come back against the Bengals.
Yeah.
Our offense couldn't do – they couldn't put the Bengals away in the first half. Did you see what Baltimore did to them today?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I just – but then, again, are you going to put it on – I don't know what you're actually going to put again on the coaches, because to be honest, to me, it is the play calling. Because I mean, you're knowing that everything is how it is. They're 30th ranked rush defense. You want to run it, but they just want to, as you say, overcoach Josh Allen. I'm starting to think there is more coaching, but what can you do? Who can you get in at short notice or even at the end of the season? Because most teams are not going to allow you to approach their offensive coordinator because they're going to stop any laterals. You're going to have to find an assistant coach with enough experience, enough vision, and what's the other word I'm trying to think of? Vision and imagination to actually... to try and light a spark with this offense.
I don't think this is going to come down to lighting a spark. This is going to come down to making the right plays at the right times, teaching Allen how to go through his progressions and his reads, and making more accurate throws. This is coming down to knowing the skill of the player, calling the right plays, and doing the proper coaching during practice. There is no halftime speech. There's no pregame speech. There's no postgame speech. It comes down to X's and O's and talent. And right now, it doesn't look like we're going to get 10 wins with what we did this week. The only saving grace to this conversation and this argument that I'm making right now is the fact that the Titans beat the Chiefs and the Falcons beat the Saints, and every week could be different.
And Miami are currently beating Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, which is great for us. But I'm not going to rule out any game. I still think every game the rest of the year is a coin flip, meaning that we could beat the teams that we should that we should lose to, but we also could lose to the teams that we're supposed to beat. I think next week against Miami, I'm going to want to see 3-4 offensive touchdowns to feel better about us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm still optimistic that there's going to be 11 wins. I still think that Broncos, Dolphins and Jets are going to be the wins regardless. And I can see them picking up that extra win or two to actually get to 11. I can see 11 wins in this team.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's doable. I think that there's enough here. Mm. I think that throwing the ball to Andre Roberts is a bad idea.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I mean, Foster got open. Beasley got open. Brown got open. They didn't use Singletary enough. I think there's talent enough here. The coaches are either, you know, overcoaching Allen or Allen's just missing. And right now I'm like 70-30 coaching.
Yeah. I mean, A couple of the incompletions that Allen threw, I think that a bit more receiver drop on there. The near interception by Greedy Williams, I think that was not on Allen. That was a really smart play from a good cornerback to jump in front of the route. He had tight, jumped in front.
I would say he was maybe behind the receiver on two or three.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not bad. I mean, that's acceptable.
There were a couple that were on the that were on there, or maybe just slightly in front, that obviously caused an issue. Obviously Dawson Knox dropping a couple more.
You know, I don't think he would have made that one on the sideline though.
No. Well,
so that's just that. But the good news is that he's missing in the right spots.
Mm.
And if you need to take anything away from it, if you're a Josh Allen, you know, apologist, which I was at the beginning of the year, but right now I'm slowly coming back down to earth, is that he's still not throwing interceptions, and that was his biggest problem last year.
He still hasn't turned the ball over.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about the fumble, which was god-awful. You know, for a guy who's got a rocket arm, he should be able to grip that football a little bit better, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean also,
you would think rocket arm equals arm strength. Arm strength should directly tie into being able to grip the ball tight enough to not fumble it.
Yeah, also, there was also, I think, a hand in there from a Browns defender that did dislodge it.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, that's how fumbling happens.
Yeah.
It's not like he did it himself, but the fact is that running backs get swiped at on every play, and so do wide receivers, and I mean... Mm. I would say that running backs will probably have more arm strength than quarterbacks, but I don't know about wide receivers unless you're DK Metcalf. But no, yeah. I remember. Do you remember Tiki Barber for the Giants?
Yes.
In the offseason, he changed his grip on the football when he was carrying it. And I think right now we have to get some kind of coach in here to tell Josh how to carry the ball better. Maybe he needs to have a good sit down with the running backs coach or something. Mm. But that's the one thing that needs to stop. I mean. For Josh to get better, for him to be the quarterback that we all want him to be, you need to see him stop fumbling. You need to see him hit on deep passes. You need to see him be a little bit more accurate, but I think that's going to come with time and just, you know, with the receivers, not just, you know, gaining experience. I just mean, like, time with his receivers. And most importantly, coaches calling up the right plays to get wide receivers, you know, open. I mean... You look at a lot of this one deep safety that the Browns are running all day. There were one-on-one opportunities where either Josh isn't trusting his receiver to throw it in a 50-50 situation, or the wide receivers just aren't good in those situations. I mean, I don't think Isaiah McKenzie and Andre Roberts and Cole Beasley can win a one-on-one jump ball, you know? We just don't have the guys for that. So bring in better wide receivers. Bring in a better offensive coordinator next year. I'm not calling for Dable to get fired now.
But the trouble is, unless...
the panic button, but I'm really close.
Yeah, trouble is...
Fucking doomsday clock, I'm at like 11:55.
Trouble is it's... If you ever did kick the tires, as I keep saying, if you ever do kick the tires on the ball, who would you replace him with? Got the guys, college coaches, college head coaches, or anything like that, wouldn't want to jump to the NFL. They've got their comfort zones in college football, and you say you're looking at assistant.
Well, anybody in college will take the jump to the NFL. It's just better paying.
Depends.
Well, so that was Alabama, but.
LSU, at Oregon, LSU wouldn't make the jump.
Yeah, but I mean, those guys, everybody wants to be a head coach. And it's easier to do that from an offensive coordinator position or a defensive coordinator position in the NFL versus college, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's, as you said earlier, it's hard to put on exactly what is causing what is causing it. I mean, as I say, everyone's going to say it's Allen, it's Allen, it's Allen, it's Allen. I don't see it. I think it's just everyone's just becoming a broken record with it, and it's something completely rubbish. I was going to say other words, but I couldn't think of the word for it. But there's more than one factor in there, and they've got to have a long, deep, hard look at themselves and actually find out exactly where it's going wrong. And especially if they can just at least make it to Thanksgiving, if they get the two, possibly three, is it two games for Thanksgiving?
Two games. Yeah.
If they can get those two wins and go into Thanksgiving at 8-3, then you've got obviously a Thanksgiving game. Then you've got a whole, 10 days to the next game?
To figure it out, yeah.
Yeah, so you've pretty much got, in essence, another bye week.
I mean, look at how many gifts this team has gotten. We're 100% healthy. We've had a cake schedule. And we've played against three teams that are as good or better than us. Four teams that are as good or better than us. And we only have one win against those teams. I mean, there's a lot of analysis of that fourth quarter drive, the last drive. We're third and four. Browns are showing everybody on the line. And they honestly only drop one guy back. He throws the fade on the right side, where you see Beasley open on the left, completely and utterly wide open. And in this situation, Josh knows the routes of all the wide receivers, and he was 100% in on the back shoulder all the way, and he throws it off his back foot because he's pressured. And
yeah,
I would just love to know what Drew Brees would do in that situation, what Tom Brady would do in that situation. Because Josh can't step into the throw, but he also doesn't have enough time to make a second read, so he's going to that guy. And that's a situation where I spoke earlier about he has one-on-one, and he doesn't take it. I mean, he takes it, and it's a bad throw, and that sucks.
Yeah.
Because here is a winnable one-on-one opportunity, and it's a bad throw, and that's just a bad time to be bad Josh Allen.
Yeah. I mean, if it makes Josh Allen feel any better, Jared Goff just got benched for Blake Bortles.
Oh my God, Blake Bortles! Oh my God, how bad is that?
And yeah, and Fitzpatrick has just been benched for Josh Rosen.
Oh, if we could play Josh Rosen next week, that would make me so much better. Feel better.
Which I'm surprised about, because Miami are now 16-12 up.
Is he injured?
I have no idea. Doesn't say.
I turned off the game to dig into some more Bills analysis.
I can't see. He's thrown one interception, 169 yards on 21 completions, and added a score on the ground, three rushes for 24.
I bet you the GM called down on the field and said, hey, stop winning.
True.
You know? I mean, what are you doing here? You're ruining this for us.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, every week we put it out there to chime in, questions, comments. Do we have anything from this week?
We do. I did tweet out asking for your player of the game and your donkey of the game. Let's just go through this list. Dan Smart, Ashiem, tweeted and said he would say Tre'Davious White would be the player of the game. The donkey of the game would have to be Brian Daboll. Every week he calls some ridiculous plays. Allen, he goes on to say, Allen isn't one of the quarterbacks to make adjustments on the line. Which, okay, the adjustments on the line, I see he's done it a couple of times. He can do it. Whether he's been given multiple plays to allow him to do that, or if the defense hasn't shifted to actually allow him to make that audible, who knows? That's only what will happen in the inside the helmet, to be honest. But he says White, player of the game, donkey, the ball.
What would you say?
Player of the game. I would have to agree. I would kind of have to agree because he shut down Beckham quite well by following him. Nearly had that interception if Jordan Poyer hadn't got in his way.
No, I watched that a few times, and it was the ball was out of his hands before Poyer makes contact with him.
Okay, I'm like
flubbed it. But no, I agree. Trey White had an amazing game. In a game where they targeted Odell a lot, White made all of the right plays. Even though Levi Wallace gave up a touchdown, he still had a pretty strong game. I mean, our pass defense is really good. Did you see Ed Oliver on the field at all?
Yes. Saw him on a few plays.
I mean, he was absent for me. I would need to watch the game again to call him the donkey of the game, but something's going on where he's just not on the field enough. It's so hard because, I mean, I'm not going to put it on Dable because he's not a player. So I'm going to stay strict to the rules of this game. So donkey of the game in terms of players, it's so hard to pick one because that was still it wasn't a blatant hold.
Yeah, but obviously, what is it? How many penalties did we give away? I think gave away. Let me get the stats back up. Gave away 7 penalties for 40 yards. Obviously,
that's not bad.
A couple of them were pass interference ones, but that happened in the end zone, so can't tag on. But there was a fair few that were on Lee Smith again, which I think did cost us. But
I mean, if you want to pick a donkey, then you have to pick Hauschka, right? I mean,
yeah,
he needs to make that first one.
Yeah,
I mean, and then we're not even in this situation if he makes that first one.
So what do you say at the end of the season? Do you actually cut
him?
Gone.
He's done.
Free agent, or do you look to get an undrafted?
No, we'll keep him unless if he goes 0-for again like next week, then we might have to actually think about bringing in a kicker now. But I think I think he's just cooked. I mean, he's been in the league for a long time. He's cooked. Just doesn't have it anymore. I mean, we're not talking about a situation today where the weather was a factor at all.
Yeah.
So.
Another question, another opinion we had, I think we've already covered it, possibly, from Simon Jones, saying, beginning to wonder who's at fault, especially on the offensive side. Is it Allen or is it DeBoole? I think we may have covered that in this, but would you say it's either or both, or is it, if you had to be put on the spot?
I'm again saying it's like 70-30 coaching versus player. You just need to see. God, it's so hard because unless I know what the Bills playbook is to say, hey, you should have done this, then yeah, all I can say is that you didn't do a good enough job getting Singletary the ball.
Yeah.
And for Josh, I can say you missed deep throws that you should have had that would have opened this game wide open.
Yeah. And
so maybe it's more 60-40. I don't know. I mean, it's 60-40. It's 50-50 if Josh turns the ball over. If he loses that fumble late in the game, then it's probably all on that play. It's just this is another situation where you can pick out specific moments. Yeah. I'd rather get blown out. You know, this is harder.
Yeah. I think I would put it on DeBoer. Just he knows the personnel he's got, but I don't know whether he wants to use it or not. Because this ties in. This question, is it Allen or DeBoer, could tie in to the next question and the last one that we had.
Real quick, hang on. What's the reason why Josh Allen's completion percentage today was so bad? Because for me, it's not using Singletary enough. It's not in after that, 0.2 of that will be Josh missing throws. I think I counted 4 or 5 that could have been thrown better. But at the end of that, it's what you said earlier about his, you know, it's the win-loss, right, with his number of attempts.
Yeah.
He's got to be throwing the ball 25, 30 max. It can't be 40, and it shouldn't be 40 in a game that's close.
Yeah.
We needed to be running the ball more.
Yeah, I mean,
or short passes. I mean, more Singletary in the passing game. More jet sweep stuff. I mean, just make the game easier for your quarterback who's only played one full season in the NFL whom you know was a project.
Yeah.
I think DeBoer might be at the point where he's like, yeah, I trust Josh. And in that situation, you have to question his, you know, decision making because Josh isn't there yet.
Yeah. I think, let's say, it leads into the last question again by Dan Smart. By Richard Williams, and Dan Smart jumped in on a little chat conversation with it. Was what happened to Singletary in that second half? Altogether, he had 10 touches, a few decent plays, and then just gone from the play calling. As we say, it's against the 30th rank D. So that could lead on to the last one or the previous one. Was it Allen or was it DeBoer in my case?
Yeah, the best way to set up Singletary is through Frank Gore going up, you know, starting, and then Singletary using him to spell on the outside, on the edges. And I don't know. I mean, there is no strength of this. Of the Browns' run defense. There isn't one. So the number one thing that I liked the most was us doing more play action. But honestly, you didn't do anything to set up the play action because your run game wasn't dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, our offensive line is graded out better against the run than it is the pass. And today, it seems like we didn't take advantage of that. Just bad decision making all around.
Yeah, I think hopefully we'll have we can have our bounce back games in the next 2 weeks. I say if we can get to the Dallas game at 8-3, then anything can happen. The next thing we have that time. I think we could go on and on and on about whether it's Allen or DeBoer, but we'll just have to wait and see and actually address it at the end of the season. I think each week, each episode, we can talk over and over again about who's to blame, what has gone wrong, what's gone right. But until we have that full season, whether it be missing out on the playoffs or actually getting into the playoffs again, can't really make that decision on who 100% who's where the issue lies until we have that full season of Allen and DeBoer straight through without any injuries to Allen, so he has to adapt his game.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting to the point now where I'm getting frustrated because as we're repeating ourselves every week, it's DeBoer and Josh Allen. And we don't have to worry about the defense. The run defense, they gave up 100 yards, sure. It didn't look great in the first half, but they cleaned it up a little bit in the second. I mean, overall, the defense played well against a team that had more talent than us. It's just getting so frustrating about what this offense needs to do. And
yeah,
I mean, if we lose next week, then what's the point of even having a show? Because it's going to be us talking about the offense. And we can just say, we'll come on and say, we said it all before. And that's the end of it, you know?
But then again, it could be the offense we talk about next week and for the right reasons.
Well, that needs to happen.
Yeah.
I honestly don't even want to do this next week if we have to talk about the offense not pulling their weight again. We have an opportunity with this schedule and this defense to make a run for it. You saw the Chiefs. They can get beat. We've seen the Patriots. They can get beat. The only team that I'm really worried about is the Ravens, but also they've been beat. So there's no opportunity. I mean, there's no excuse to not think that this could happen.
Yeah.
The only thing holding us back right now is us.
Exactly.
There's not an there's not a team on the schedule going forward that isn't beatable.
Yeah.
Maybe the Patriots.
Yeah. But we've
always given that a loss. So.
Yeah. But I still maintain that we're going to be 11-5, and I think today after that game we could talk about this for high in hell. Or come rain and shine and all that,
Last thing. My question to you is: against the Dolphins next week, if we score, if it's 17-10, are you satisfied? Are you still thinking 11-5? If the offense comes out and punts five times,
I don't give a damn about. But the stats, the only stats I care about is what's in that W column. I mean, even if Josh Allen only threw 10 attempts and we ran the ball all the rest of the time and we had 17 points, it was 17-10, then I would actually be happy with that. But then if that's the case, it's that close still and the offense stutter, but the defense is still giving up points to a Dolphins side or any team that's low and not winning that many games, then you're questioning the whole team. But to be honest, for me, stats, 300 games, amount of interceptions and all that, rushing yards doesn't really bother me. It's just
I think this was a really bad week for 300-yard passers.
Yeah. But it doesn't really bother me as much because it's the end of the day, but it's regardless who you play and who you've got in front of you, it's that W column.
But you're not worried about the eye test? I mean, don't you? I mean, if this offense looks like they're still behind the curve, where's the optimism coming from?
The fact that it's not you're not just putting it on one aspect of the team. I mean, if obviously, yes, I agree. If the offense does start to regress a little bit, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows where? Obviously, some people's optimism may start waning, but then it's a case that you're making enough plays, even if they're simple and basic ones, to get those wins each time. And as more and more wins you get, more and more they're going to get. They're going to be in with themselves, so to speak, that they'll be able to then build that confidence, have that optimism that even if they don't score 30, 40 odd points, throw for 300, 400, 500 yards, that they can still grind out and work and graft to get those wins.
You're not supposed to grind out a win against the Dolphins. I don't want to grind out a win. I'll grind out a win against the Broncos because I think their defense is all right and they can run the ball.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm not saying just direct Dolphins grinding. I mean any game any tough games, yes.
I think it matters about the opponent. I think because even though the Chiefs lost, they still looked good on offense. And wouldn't you rather have a better offense than defense?
Oh yeah, for sure. But then it's what we were saying in the 1-2 a couple of episodes ago. It's trying to create that identity. I still don't see what our identity is on offense.
Well, we thought we figured it out last week with Singletary, and now we're behind it again.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so we don't know what that offense is. Maybe it's this season they're trying, which they shouldn't do. They should really work it in preseason. Maybe this season they're trying different like styles, different philosophies to see if any can be meshed, or there is one which stands out, which they can work around in the off season and with that cap space to actually do something to get them onto that philosophy. And next year we'll have these games where we'll be scoring 30 points, throwing for plus 300 odd yards. I just hate the Mahomes, Watson, oh, we missed out on those. So what, it's McDermott, it was McDermott's first draft. But that's me. That's me. I'm always going to be optimistic more than I am going to be with my actual soccer team.
Well, you might need to start carrying me because I'm losing it.
I'll have enough optimism for both of us.
All right, good. I hope mine gets restored over the next 2 weeks. But I want to beat teams that are. I want to be able to beat teams that are as good or better than us.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have it in a few weeks' time after the Dallas game. We should have a bit more optimism when we go for when we're actually at that point where we know.
Yeah, if we don't win in Dallas, as long as it's close, I think I might feel better if our offense can just keep up. But I mean,
yeah.
At this point, the next 2 weeks are not a measuring stick. They're must wins, and if it looks good, great. If it looks bad, whatever. But as long as they win, the biggest test for me is Dallas. So we'll see what happens when we get there.
So all I say is join us again on Thursday for the preview of the Dolphins game. Continue following us, as I say. Put a plug on the previous episode about the new Twitter account for the podcast, which is at @RWBB_podcast. Give that a follow. I say we enjoy the interactions. Well, I've enjoyed it today. The interactions I've had, not just on the main one, but on the podcast one as well. Just continue your downloading, listening, reviewing, subscribing, and all that. Keep showing your support for the work that we do and the group does. And for this time, until next time, for me and a slightly subdued Alex, shall we say, after this weekend.
I need a beer.
And on that note, it's go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You know anything about work?
No. Huh?
That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.